If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. A word about keeping America the home of the brave. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I just thank you for this country that we're living in. And thank you, Lord, that we are the land of the free because we are also the home of the brave. I pray you just teach us this morning how much we need to be brave as Christians and standing up and speaking out, Lord, for the sake of the souls of this nation and this nation itself. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last June the 21st, in Marion, Indiana, Marcus Harvey and Trey Jones were driving around town when all of a sudden they saw a house on South Adams Street going up in flames. And a crowd of people just standing around watching it burn. And when the people told them that there was still a guy trapped inside, they realized they had to do something, so they kicked in the front door, battled through the flames, found the guy on the couch, and managed to pull him outside. 56-year-old Guy Carlton. And even though he had third-degree burns over 35% of his body, they did rescue him and he did survive. Now, what do you know? Marcus Harvey and Trey Jones are both black Democrats, while Guy Carlton is a white Republican. But those guys didn't give a lick about skin color or political party. They were just brave enough to do the right thing and save that man's life. Well, sadly enough, America today is going up in flames too, with all kinds of people burning in the fire of riots and protests. And the question is, who's going to be brave enough today to do the right thing, regardless of skin color or political party, and save those people and save this nation? Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, the Israelites are on the verge of uncharted territory in the Promised Land. And God tells them to be brave so that they can take the land and claim it for Him. Folks, America today is in uncharted territory too, with everything from Black Lives Matter to mail-in elections and everything in between. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today to be brave, so we can take this land and claim it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, tells us three things that we need to do in order to keep America the home of the brave like God intended it to be. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to keep America the home of the brave, we need to be brave enough to deal with COVID-19. And sadly enough, most Americans are not, because in 57 years, I have never seen more Americans more scared to death of anything in my entire life. And most of the fear, of course, is all because of the panic porn from the media. Reuters tells us 2 out of 3 Americans believe 30 million people have died from COVID, which is absolutely ridiculous. But media, mission accomplished. And what's the result? 1 out of 3 Americans say they would not come out of their hunker bunker, even if Dr. Fauci himself gave the all clear. See the guy in the grocery store in New Jersey with the hazmat suit on? Folks, there's a difference between being cautious and being crazy. We have to be brave enough to deal with the truth about COVID-19. And it all started last March when the Imperial College of London said that 2.2 million Americans were going to die from it. And we needed to flatten the curve to make sure the hospitals weren't overrun. So 40 governors locked down their states, businesses, schools, churches all closed, and stuck a knife in the heart of the greatest economy in the history of the world. We all masked up like Dr. McDreamy. We all hibernated like bears, while divorce, depression, domestic violence, alcohol, drug addiction, and suicide went through the roof. But very quickly on, we realized, even though COVID-19 is very highly contagious, it's not very highly deadly, except for the elderly and people with serious pre-existing medical conditions. But that was never reported. And it's still not being reported. Because every single day, all we hear, how many new cases and how many more people die? information with no context at all, because they do not tell you the vast majority of people who test positive for COVID-19 aren't even sick enough to show any symptoms. And every new case gets reported like a stage 4 pancreatic cancer diagnosis. Everybody grab your ankles, we're all going to die. Just like last week. Armageddon at the University of Alabama. 1,200 students test positive for COVID. But what they did not tell you of the 1,200 students, not one of them died. Not one of them was even sick enough to have to go see a doctor. So here is the real skinny on COVID-19 that the media still doesn't tell you. 98.52% of Americans will never get COVID-19. 99.9% of Americans who do get COVID-19 will never have to be hospitalized for it. 99.95% of Americans who get COVID-19 will never die from it. 80% of all COVID deaths are people over 65 years old. 50% of all who died were over 80. The average death of from COVID-19 in America is 79.5 years old. Last August the 20th, we hit 5 million cases of COVID-19 in America. So just 55 million more to go before we equal the same number of cases of swine flu that we had in 2009, when we did absolutely nothing. So COVID-19 is not a pandemic, and it never has been. Now last week, the CDC said 160,000 COVID deaths in America, only 6%, 9,200 of them were COVID only. Now, does that mean that COVID-19 is a hoax? Absolutely not. What it does mean, if you have serious pre-existing medical conditions, or if you are elderly, you do need to be careful. But what it also means, if you are healthy, for the love of God, the government needs to open up the country and let you go back to work and let you go back to school. For crying out loud, let my people go! But see, that's never going to happen. And why? Because there is an agenda behind the mask mandates and the lockdowns. Give me all the studies you want to that prove that masks and lockdowns make the virus go away. I will give you just as many studies from all over the world that prove that they don't. Here's from the Dutch Institute of Health in the Netherlands. There is no evidence at all of any medical benefit from wearing a face mask, or that face masks are a good way to prevent the spread of respiratory viruses, so it makes no sense to mandate their use to everyone. So officials like J.B. Pritzker constantly say we are following the science, but they're not following the science, and they haven't been following the science for a long, long time. Because here in America, the states that have the strictest mandates and the strictest lockdowns are also the states that have the highest death rates. New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island. And you know why? Because masks and lockdowns do not make the virus go away. They just shorten the length of time that people are going to live who are going to die from the virus anyway. August 17th, there were 6 deaths in the state of Illinois from COVID. That same day, there were 14 deaths in the city of Chicago from shootings. But wear your mask. The infection rate in the state of New York right now is 0.24%. Not 24%. Not 2.4%. 0.24%. August 19th, state of New York, 20 million people had 0 deaths from COVID-19. Zero. And yet that entire state is still locked down tighter than Nancy Pelosi's old hair salon. So at what point do you say it's political? Congressman Adam Schiff said this: it's critical that governors maintain restrictions on businesses until after the November elections, because any positive economic recovery will help Trump be reelected. In other words, the left was willing to inflict all this damage on you, on your kids' education, on the economy, your job, your business, your family's future, just to get Donald Trump out of the White House. And again, COVID-19 is not a hoax. If you've ever been sick from something else before, you've got serious pre-medical conditions, pre-existing. If you're a senior citizen, and you think you need to wear a mask, by all means, you wear a mask. Because wearing a mask does not mean you're sheeple. It doesn't mean that you don't have any faith in God, and nobody at this church is going to look sideways at you. If I had serious pre-medical conditions pre-existing, I'd be wearing one too. No matter how high the odds are of you actually getting sick. Because I know exactly how you feel. I love the ocean. But I will not swim in the ocean. Because there are sharks in the ocean and I am not going to die from a shark attack. Now the odds of being killed by a shark in the ocean are 1 in 4 million. But listen to me, it still happens. But it ain't going to happen to me because I ain't never getting in the water. Exactly the same thing is true with COVID-19. If government would just give us true information about this so we can calculate the risk and decide for ourselves what we need to do about it. Because letting people decide for themselves what is best for them works. Even with COVID-19. In case anybody doesn't know, the biggest honk and motorcycle rally in the whole wide world happens every summer in Sturgis, South Dakota. And it draws almost 500,000 bikers from all over creation. Well, this year, the city council in Sturgis actually thought about canceling it because of COVID-19. But because Governor Christie Noem never locked down the state, and because the officials knew the bikers were going to come anyway, no matter whether they canceled it or not, that rally did go off August 6th through the 17th. And man alive, you should have heard the caterwauling. Doomsday, super spreader. Scads of people are going to come to Sturgis and get COVID-19 and go back home and spread it all over the world. Spokesman for the Center for Infectious Diseases at University of Minnesota said this, come late August, early September, Sturgis is going to have one heck of an impact on America. Grab your ankles, all the stupid Trumper biker dudes and biker chicks are going to kill us all. Well, what do you know? That rally happened second full week in August, and the media hasn't said boo about it since. And you know why? Because that Sturgis rally never spread any kind of pandemic at all. All told, 100 positive cases of COVID-19 came out of that rally at Sturgis in 8 different states. Of those 100 cases, only 3 people were symptomatic, only one of them had to go to the hospital, and nobody died. So the impact of Sturgis on America was practically non-existent. Now, to put that in perspective, August 17th, there were 464,000 positive cases of COVID in America, 1,400 per million. You crunch the numbers, Sturgis only had 200 per million, 7 times less, and that's with no masks, no social distancing, and no lockdown. And why is that? Because country after country after country all over the world tells us masks and lockdowns make hardly any difference at all when it comes to mitigating a virus that seems to go wherever it wants to go, whenever it wants to go, to whoever it wants to go to, according to its own pattern. And because Governor Christie Noem never locked down the state, the people in South Dakota are achieving herd immunity. And not only that, but a lot of the senior citizens who usually go to Sturgis every year didn't go this year because of COVID-19. Gee, you mean people can actually make decisions about what's best for them without the government forcing them to do it? I guess so. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear. So COVID-19 is not something that we need to be afraid of. All people need is for officials to give us the truth about this so that we can know what we're dealing with. And then by faith in God, we can be brave enough to overcome it. Amen. The first thing we need to do to keep America the home of the brave, we need to be brave enough to deal with COVID-19. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to keep America the home of the brave. We not only need to be brave enough to deal with COVID-19, we also need to be brave enough to deal with the lies about racism. And most people today aren't very good at doing that either. And especially Black Lives Matter. Because you tell me, ever since the riot started, after the death of George Floyd, what has Black Lives Matter ever done that has made anything better? Even one thing. And I'll wait for my answer. You're listening to this sermon this morning. You seriously want to do something about racism? You avoid BLM like the plague, because the only thing that organization is about is a Marxist takeover of this country. And if you don't know that, then you haven't been paying attention. We've got to be brave enough to admit America is not systemically racist like all the activists claim. Former President Barack Obama said this: "Racism and discrimination exists in every institution in our lives, and the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow is still passed on in our DNA." People, that's nuts, because where is there any evidence at all that that's true? Nicole Hannah Jones, a 1619 project, claims that the reason our founding fathers fought the American Revolution is because they were afraid England was going to force them to get rid of slavery. People, it's absolutely nuts, because there's not one shred of evidence that even suggests that. So the 1619 Project is about as true as the Blair Witch Project, because it wasn't written by a historian, it was written by a journalist with a racist axe to grind. Presidential candidate Joe Biden says America is on the verge of going back to Jim Crow. What in the world is he talking about? Do you see any white-only restrooms in the fellowship hall back there in our church? Oprah Winfrey says Americans put black people in a caste system. What? University of North Carolina professor Tressie Cottom says every white American at birth is deputized to kill black people. Folks, that's not only racist, that's certifiably insane. NBA star LeBron James says this: "Every single day, black people are in fear of their lives and are hunted down and massacred by racists. And it just adds to the whole atmosphere of oppression and slavery that still exists for blacks in America." But again, where is there any proof that that's true? Because 2019, of the 42 million black people living in the United States, 7,563 of them were murdered, and 98.7% of those who were killed by other black people. In 2019, of the 42 million black people in America, 9 who were unarmed were killed by police. Now, does that still seem like 9 too many? Absolutely. But 9 out of 42 million, not exactly a massacre. And as far as oppression and slavery goes, LeBron James makes $32 million a year from Nike. Nike, in turn, makes over $6 billion a year from their shoe market in China. And LeBron James has been to China 16 different times to plug Nike and to shill for the NBA. No wonder he's constantly bypassing the whole issue of human rights violations in China and constantly trying to make excuses for it. And you know where LeBron James' Nike shoes come from? Sweatshops in China, where girls get 27 cents an hour to make the shoes that he sells for $5,000 a pair. See, that kind of slavery is just fine. That's what you call a hypocrite. And do you know why people cry about systemic racism so much? Because throughout your entire life, if something bad happens to you, it's always somebody else's fault. No personal responsibility. And how bad is it? Last week, the district attorney, Los Angeles County, actually told Los Angeles police officers, before they arrest anybody for looting, they need to find out if what that person was looting was something they actually needed. Are you kidding me? Why in the world does that make any difference at all? No personal responsibility. Now, is there some racism in America? Absolutely, and we would never deny that. But it's not institutional, it's spiritual. It's not in America's DNA, it's in individual people's hearts, and that's what needs to change. We got to be brave enough to counter the lie that millions and millions of black people are being systematically slaughtered by racist white cops, because it's just not happening, even in the most recent cases. Last week, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner in Minneapolis released the results from the autopsy of George Floyd that said at the moment George Floyd was arrested, he had enough fentanyl in his body to kill a horse. And absolutely no damage was done to his neck, the muscles, the nerves, the arteries in his neck by Officer Derek Chauvin's knee. that was placed on that neck. Body cam footage shows George Floyd was telling the police that he couldn't breathe even before they laid him on the ground. So the official verdict from a very liberal institution, Hennepin County Medical Examiner's Office, George Floyd was killed by a drug overdose, not by a racist white cop. Because there's no evidence at all that Derek Chauvin was racist at all. And here's the kicker. Hennepin County Medical Examiner finished that autopsy in June and then sat on that information for 3 months before they released it. And why? Hey, can't let a good crisis go to waste. Rashard Brooks in Atlanta was drunk asleep in his car at a drive-thru in Wendy's. And when the police were called by the restaurant, he wrestled with them, grabbed their taser away, shot that taser at the police before he was shot himself. Breonna Taylor, Louisville, Kentucky, was shacked up with a drug dealer boyfriend. And when the cops came to serve a warrant on him, who was living in her house, he shot at the police through the door. The police shot back. A bullet accidentally hit Breonna Taylor and killed her. Jacob Blake, Kenosha, Wisconsin, was wanted for rape and sexual assault and domestic violence, and that morning even sexually assaulted a woman in her bed while he had his three kids waiting for him outside in his vehicle in front of the apartment complex. He had a restraining order against him because of that woman. She called the police. The police showed up. He resisted arrest, reached for a knife, and got shot. Now, am I saying that every single interaction between cops and black people is always 100% kosher? Of course not. Am I saying there's never been any such thing in the history of this country as a white racist policeman? Absolutely not. But here's the fact. If you don't commit a crime, and you don't hang out or associate with people who commit crime, your chances of being killed by the police are almost zero, no matter what color you are. And that's the truth. And not manning up to the personal responsibility, not manning up to that truth, just continues the destruction. And now it's even destroying professional sports. Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll said this, "Black people know the truth. It's white people who don't know. It's not that they're not telling us. They've been telling us the stories. We know what's right and what's wrong. We just haven't been open to listen to it. We've been unwilling to accept the real history. We've been taught a false history of what happened in this country. We've been basing things on false premises, and it hasn't been about equality for all. It hasn't been about freedom for all. It hasn't been opportunity for all, and it needs to be. This is a white people's issue to get over and to learn what's really going on." He's towing the party line. And because of that attitude, NFL football games this year are going to start out with the black national anthem. And social justice slogans are going to be painted in the end zones. And all NFL players are going to be allowed to wear patches on their helmet or on their uniform with the supposed black victims of supposed white racist cops and shootings. The picture you see here is New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees with the name Jacob Blake on his football helmet. You know, I wonder what Jacob Blake's victim thinks about having the name of her rapist glorified like that by the NFL. Treating him like he's some kind of a hero. You know what NFL stands for now? No fans left. Because millions and millions and millions of Americans are not going to want you to watch a bunch of rich athletes tell them every single week, week after week, that their nation is evil and that all the fans are like Klan members. And the NBA, exactly the same thing. You know why the NBA almost shut down after the shooting of Jacob Blake? It's because their ratings are so far through the floor, they're almost subterranean. I wouldn't watch the NBA if they played in my backyard. Because they forgot, they need us, we don't need them. Do we understand the lies about racism in America? Because racism is racism. I don't care what color it is. The mainstream media today has never been more corrupt than it is right now because they absolutely will not report any fact that contradicts their narrative that millions of innocent black people are being slaughtered by racist white people just because they're black. Well, last Sunday, August the 9th, a 5-year-old white boy named Cannon Hennett was riding his bicycle in the driveway in front of his house in Wilson, North Carolina, when all of a sudden, his next-door neighbor, 25-year-old Darius Sessoms, a black man, walked over with a handgun, shot that little boy in the head and killed him. Just because he was white. That 5-year-old boy died as the result of an obviously racially motivated hate crime. Everybody in America should have been demanding justice for Cannon Hennett. But did you hear anything about that on the news?
No.
Nobody marched for him. Nobody protested. Al Sharpton didn't go to that little boy's funeral. And you can bet your life LeBron James is never going to have Cannon Hennett's name on the back of his NBA jersey. Don't turn away. See him. Say his name. Because Cannon Hennett mattered. And not only that, last August the 12th, 24-year-old John Shockley, Indianapolis, Indiana, was standing in a parking lot when a black man named Sammy Tenen walked up with a handgun, shot him in the head, and killed him. August the 13th, 17-year-old Veronica Baker was sitting in her car in the parking lot of a Bojangles in Garner, North Carolina, when a 17-year-old black kid named Devin Jones, who was in her class in high school, came up with a handgun and shot her and killed her. Last August the 14th, 30-year-old Nicole Merrill was in the parking lot of an Ideal Market in Earlington, Kentucky, when a black man named Dennis Stone came up to her with a handgun, shot her, and killed her. August the 16th, 18-year-old Nicholas Garza from American Canyon, California, was delivering food 200 feet away from the front door of the Safeway grocery store where he worked, when a black man named Christopher Young came up with a gun and shot him and killed him. In 1 week, 5 black people shot and killed 5 innocent white people for no reason whatsoever except for the fact that they were white. And how many of you heard anything about that on the news? Of course not. Nobody marched. Nobody protested. Not one person said a word about systemic racism. You say, but Kevin, not all black people are racist. Exactly. Just like not all white people are racist either. But there are racists, both black and white. So regardless of what Black Lives Matter says, racism is not a pattern in white institutions in America. Racism is a sin in individual people's hearts, both black and white. And it's only Jesus Christ who can change the heart. And it's only Jesus who can take that hate away by the power of the blood He shed on the cross to take our sins away. So I want to know who's going to be brave enough in 2020 America to stand up and say all lives matter because they all matter to Jesus, and it's only Jesus that can make them matter to you. The second thing we need to do to keep America the home of the brave, we need to deal with the lies about racism. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to keep America the home of the brave. We not only need to deal with the truth about COVID-19, we not only need to deal with the lies about racism. Third, we need to be brave enough to take a stand as Christians. And listen to me. We better be showing some guts, because right now we are being bombarded on every side. Heaven's sakes, even Elmo on Sesame Street is pushing Black Lives Matter now. And it's all supposed to do one thing. It's supposed to make us throw up our hands and just give up, just to make the whole thing go away. We need to take a stand, because right now we are being whack-a-mole. Our rights are being whack-a-mole on every side. The left right now is trying to use COVID-19 as an excuse to push for mail-in balloting this coming election day, even though it's absolutely unnecessary. Listen to me. If you can wear a mask and stand in line to get into Walmart, you can sure enough wear a mask and stand in line to get into a polling place and vote in person.
Amen.
And everybody knows that mail-in ballots are an excuse and a cover for fraud and ballot harvesting.
Amen.
Do you trust the United Postal Service? Not too many of its members. I get my neighbor's mail every other day now. So I guess I get to vote twice. Now, are there good employees? Absolutely there are. But the overall record? Last June, a woman named Susan Leifheitz from Brooklyn, New York, got a birthday card from her mother in Syracuse, New York, that was mailed back in 1969, 51 years ago. So I guess the 2020 election will finally be settled around the year 2071. It's going to be an absolute nightmare on purpose. You got to stand up because the left is trying to take away your Second Amendment rights. Joe Biden said this in 2016. Our founding fathers had no idea about the technology that we have available today with guns and weapons, so they would not believe that the Second Amendment would ever cover those things. You don't need 30 bullet magazines to shoot a deer. No, but the Second Amendment was not written in case a deer turns against you. The Second Amendment is not about technology. It's not about clips. It's not about magazines. The Second Amendment isn't even about guns. The Second Amendment is about your God-given right to protect and defend yourself and your family and your property with whatever means necessary. And to fight off a tyrannical government if necessary. The Founding Fathers gave you the Second Amendment so no government would ever even think about taking away your First Amendment. Founding Father George Mason said this, "The best and most effective way to enslave people is to disarm them." Folks, you got to stand up. Ever since last March, California Governor Gavin Newsom has had all the churches in that state closed. Casinos, no, churches, yes. Until last July the 26th, when Pastor John MacArthur and Grace Community Church decided enough was enough, and they opened up for in-person worship again, and have been open every Sunday since. Now, first of all, the state tried to stop them by threatening to put John MacArthur in jail. And now that that hasn't worked, the state is now canceling the lease that that church has had for the last 45 years to use L.A. County parking on Sunday mornings, because they're a mega church. So the state is saying, you can go to church if you want to. Good luck finding a parking spot. Do you see what the left is doing? Do you see what the left does to our constitutional right to freedom of worship? And I know that there's some people listening to the sermon right now because I get the emails and the letters, Kevin, you're way too political. No, because I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about rights. And we'd actually have some left if more pastors would grow a spine and speak up about it, because I got to tell you, it's getting pretty lonely out here all by myself. Kevin, all you need to do is preach the gospel. No, we first of all have to defend our right to even share the gospel to begin with, because that's exactly what the left is trying to take away from us. But too many pastors, they are so scared to death they're going to offend somebody, they wimp out and don't say anything at all. Folks, when your country and your freedom is at stake, your silence is not golden, it's yellow. Amen. For the love of God, stand up and say something. And if you think what's going on right now is bad, wait till this winter when government tries to force you to take a vaccine that 99.78% of Americans don't need and over half of us don't want. We got to stand up. You're going to stand up. You've got to be brave enough to stand up against the mob. Because the new America the left wants us all to live in is all about mob rule and intimidating you and bullying you into submission and silence and compliance. Last Tuesday, video came out of a bunch of thugs from Black Lives Matter harassing diners outside of a restaurant in Washington, D.C., getting all up in their face and demanding that they raise their hand to show support for Black Lives Matter and to show that they believe that there is systemic racism in America and all black people are victims of systemic racism and all white people are to blame for it just because they're white. Well, one of those white diners outside of that restaurant was a woman named Lauren Victor. And when she didn't raise her hand, they cussed at her and screamed at her and asked her, "Are you a Christian?" Like they knew that would be reason enough for her not to do it. And of course, nobody from the restaurant did anything to protect their customers because they're afraid of getting jacked up too. And of course, all the other customers immediately put their hand up in the air just to make the crowd go away and make the thugs leave them alone. Everybody just let it happen. This is what it looked like. Victor absolutely refused to raise her hand. Because regardless of what she believed, she was not about to do something just because a goon squad told her she had to. Absolutely would not. And look at that. No tolerance, no open-mindedness, no concern that anybody feels safe. Black Lives Matter is not going to try to convince you. They are going to force you. And ask yourself, is that really the kind of America that you want to live in? Because if it isn't, you've got to be brave enough to stand up and stand against the mob, like she did. Christians, we have got to stand up because there is a spiritual battle going on here. A spiritual battle for the very soul of this nation. Last weekend in Oakland, California, Black Lives Matter and Antifa teamed up for a march through major parts of the city. Watch this video and listen to what those protesters are chanting as they're marching. Just like the terrorist Muslims in Iran, they're chanting over and over again, death to America, death to America, death to America. It curls your hair. Anybody still have any doubt at all about what's really going on here? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against very evil forces in very dark places. And Christians, how many of y'all realize the only way that we are ever going to win that battle is if we are brave enough to stand up and lift up Jesus Christ in the darkness, like they're doing. Ever since George Floyd was killed and died last Memorial Day, all hell broke loose in all major cities all across the United States. Chicago, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle, Washington, D.C., you name it. But the day after George Floyd died, a pastor named Charles Kuruku, International Outreach Church, Burnsville, Minnesota, got a word from the Lord that there were going to be riots in major cities all over the country. And he was supposed to go to every one of those places and turn the riots into revivals. To go to the exact places where the devil had done his darndest and start doing spiritual warfare and praise the Lord and lift up Jesus so that thousands and thousands of lost, hopeless people will get saved and delivered and set free by the power of Jesus Christ. So Pastor Charles Kuruku called Sean Foyt, the worship protest pastor out in California, YWAM, every organization he could think of that does international street ministry, and off they went. And the very first place they went to was Minneapolis, the exact place where George Floyd died. Corner of Chicago Avenue and East 38th Street. And you talk about guts. Because while Antifa and Black Lives Matter were still protesting, while cars and buildings were still on fire, they just started praising the Lord and preaching the gospel. Talk about being bold and taking it to the streets. And what do you know? The glory fell. And for the next 10 days, hundreds and hundreds of people got saved. And they got baptized in cow tanks. And they got set free and demons were cast out. And then they went to Seattle, Washington, to the very neighborhood where that chop zone was. And even though gang members and mobs were still pointing guns at them and flashing knives at them, they started praising the Lord and preaching the gospel. And again, hundreds and hundreds of people got saved and baptized and set free. Then they went to Portland, Oregon, and set up shop 3 blocks away from where those protesters are trying to destroy the federal courthouse. And when the protesters saw the Christians, they tore down a fence, started shooting at them, even set fire to a police association building right behind the stage. But in spite of that, 7,000 Christians showed up in that park, praising the Lord and preaching the gospel, and people were getting saved and baptized and set free night after night after night. But how many all realize? You step out and do spiritual warfare and take a stand for Jesus, the devil is going to be all over you like ugly dead ape. So Sean Foyt had to hire 30 professional bodyguards. And good thing, because one night in that park in Portland, a satanic cult marched right through that crowd, screaming and yelling, "Hail Satan!" They got as far as the stage, they destroyed all kinds of generators, all kinds of musical equipment, threatened to kill Sean Foyt, his wife, his kids, all the leaders in charge, before the bodyguards were able to push them back. Don't let anybody ever tell you that Christianity is for wimps. Right. They continued to praise God, preach the gospel. Hundreds and hundreds of people got saved and baptized and set free and delivered. 2 weeks ago, they went to Kenosha, Wisconsin. And even though Antifa members were calling for the random murder of white people in that city, and especially the people in that ministry, again, they praised the Lord, they preached the gospel, hundreds of people got saved. This is just a little glimpse of what those riots to revival meetings are like.
This morning from a prophet, and he said, today is a day of a major victory.
The Seattle miracle is going to break open the heavens, and you are the start of the miracle. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that there would be a breakout, a breakthrough, a breakthrough, a breakthrough in this territory. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus.
People, what a glorious, victorious, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, ding-dong, dilly of a dinger, move of God. Because every single one of those places went from bloody ground to holy ground. Went from rebellion to submission and surrender. Went from damnation to salvation. And you know why that happened? Not just because of the Holy Spirit, but because those Christians had enough gravel in their gut and spit in their eye to go into the very gates of hell and storm heaven itself to see people saved for the glory of God. Sean Foyt said this, "The time for courageous Christianity is here. No more backing down or hiding in the weeds. Jesus is coming to the worst, hardest parts of America, and He wants praise and love and power to fill the streets. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord our God is with you, and He has delivered the enemy into your hand." And Christians, let me ask you, if those believers are willing to do that and stand up for Jesus Christ and look the devil in the eye and refuse to run away or hide or be afraid, why can't we do exactly the same thing and stop hiding in our churches and not be afraid ourselves, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against us either? And even if we are not witnessing in the streets of major cities of this country, even if it's Kroger or the parking lot of the Sheridan gas station, we still need the same courage. That revival that started with riots to revivals that is now spreading all over America started with one pastor, one Christian who was brave enough to stand up for Christ. And the question is, where is that Christian who is brave enough to stand up for Christ now? To start it here. Interesting thing, Black Lives Matter always asks people to raise their hand to pledge loyalty to their cause, because they seem to understand what raising that hand really means. And today, I'm going to ask you to raise a hand too. I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand for Black Lives Matter. I'm going to ask you to raise a hand for Jesus Christ. Not for Black Lives Matter, not for White Lives Matter, but because His life matters, most of all. Because without His life, we have no life at all. So I'm going to ask you right now to stand where you're at. And I need to give you a warning. If you're going to raise your hand this morning, pledging your loyalty to Jesus Christ, you are putting a bullseye on your back. The world is going to hassle you, and the devil is going to be all over you with direct spiritual attack. You raise your hand. So don't do it if you don't mean it. But I want to know right now, who has the guts? Who's willing to buck the system to do something that no other pagan in the world will do, that most Christians today will not do? Raise your hand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I am going to serve you. And I'm raising my hand right now to do all I can for prayer and revival and restoration and racial reconciliation in this country, to see a nation and a people saved who right now are going to hell in a handbasket in these last days. I will not be afraid. I will be brave. I will be bold. I will be strong. For I know the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. Let's pray. The only Savior that there is. You're the only God that there is. We pledge to give ourselves to you today for your service, Lord, for the healing of this nation. Just ask, Lord, that you would use us in our own ways, in our jobs, in our own families, our own homes, whatever stage, Lord, whatever opportunity you give us to bring this nation back to you. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.
I will praise him. Hallelujah, I will praise him. Hallelujah, I will praise him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
going to take a moment for communion now. If you do not have a little